Good morning, brothers and sisters. Thanks for joining us this morning to worship the Lord. My topic this morning is Don't Forget to Remember. Taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8, Don't Forget to Remember. I'm sure these two words, forget and remember, rings a bell to many of us, especially us who are senior citizens. And normally by noon, you know, I've taken my breakfast, but by noon I would have forgotten, you know, when my children ask me, well, what did I take? You know, it'll take me a while to remember what I've taken for my breakfast. I shared this with one of my former elders in Malacca, and he told me, Pastor, not that bad, you know, you're not bad. You know, my father, who's only in his early 60s, you know, he drives out and couldn't find his way back. And my mother saw him, you know, circling around the house a few times. And so we thought that he's going to look for a parking space to park so that he can come into the house. But no. So we have to go and tell him, hey, Dad, this is the house. He couldn't find his own house. He can't remember. You know, a house has been living there for years. And so, you know, nowadays we hide his key, you know, so that he cannot use a car to drive out. But my father, very clever, you know, somehow he doesn't have the memory to find his way back, but he always can find where we hide his key, you know. So when we are not looking, when we're not around, you know, he will take the key and then he will drive out, you know, all around Malacca. So now what I have to do is, I will use a tracking device. I put a tracking device in his phone. So in case he get lost, at least we know where to find him. And there were three senior citizens, you know, staying in an old folks' home. And they were talking about same thing, a loss of memory, can't remember this, can't remember that, you know. And so the first one, he says, you know, when I go to the, you know, when I, in the morning, I go to the fridge and to look for something. But the moment I open the fridge, I've forgotten what it was that I went there to look for. And the second man say, hey, that's not so bad, you know. I come down from upstairs and halfway before I reach the fridge, halfway in the steps, I've already forgotten, you know, what I was supposed to go to the fridge to get. And the third one say, that's not bad, you know. For me, you know, when I go downstairs, halfway when I stop, you know, the moment I stop, I've forgotten whether I'm going down to get something or going back to my room to get something. That's it, you know. That's how bad I am. I'm sure many of our carries, brothers and sisters, are far from that. And I remember before the pandemic, Auntie Betty in her 80s will pick up Auntie Anna in her 90s, you know, to go to carries. And after carries, these two wonderful ladies, you know, Auntie Betty will take Auntie Anna to go visiting, you know. The two of them add up almost 200 years, you know, and yet, you know, they can drive around and go visitation, you know. So, you know, not everyone is, you know, to forget to remember. So now before I forget, my topic this morning is don't forget to remember. The word forget occurs three times in Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verse 11, verse 14, and verse 19. We will look at it afterwards. And the word remember occurs two times in verse 2 and verse 18. In fact, remembering God's blessing, remembering what the Lord has done for us is a key idea in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8 especially. So this morning, even as we look at this chapter 8, don't forget to remember, you know, the discipline and correction of the Lord. Verse 1 to 6, don't forget to remember, you know, the provision and the blessings of Lord from verse 7 to verse 18. And the last one is don't forget to remember God's commands, verse 19 and verse 20. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Father God, we want to thank you this morning to bring your people here to listen to your word. Speak to us, Lord, even as we look at what the Israelites have gone through, how they have forgotten your teaching, forgotten your blessings, and forgotten the things that you have done for them. Help us this morning to apply in our own lives and not to forget your blessings in our lives, Lord. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Verse 1 to 6, if you have your Bible, please turn to it and follow me with your Bible. You know, he says, I will read verses 1 to 6 to you. He says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember, verse 1, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with a manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. Don't forget to remember God's discipline and correction. And Moses reminded the Israelites that the reason God kept them those 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, was to humble them and to test them to see whether they would keep his commands. See, disobedience time and again had kept the whole generation out of a land that, you know, they might have enjoyed. And yet, despite their disobedience, God still provided them manna for them when they were hungry. And God reminded them their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell all those 40 years. And as a father disciplined his son, so will Heavenly Father discipline you for your own good. Moses told them, you know, to teach them that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I'm sure these words rings a bell. Remember our Lord when he was tempted by the devil after 40 days and 40 nights, you know, of fasting. The devil said to him, you are the son of God. Tell these stones to become bread. Our Lord's answer was taken from verse 3. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Yes, as a human being, we need bread. We need food for our physical bodies. And that's why God provided the manna for the Israelites. Otherwise, they would have all have died of hunger, you know, in the wilderness, in the desert. You know? But we are not just physical beings. We are also spiritual beings. And so we need the word of God for our spiritual needs. St. Augustine, the church father, had rightly said, he says, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. My friends, no matter how rich you are, how powerful you may be, how clever you are, there's always a vacuum in the hearts of each and every one of us. And unless we find God, we will never be at rest. There will always be something lacking, no matter how much we have. And that vacuum can only be occupied by God. You see, in verse 6, Moses reminded his people to do three things, you know, during God's discipline and during God's correction, to observe the commands of the Lord, to walk in his ways, and to respect him, you know, give him the highest respect, revering him, your reverence. And this reminds us of the greatest command, you know, loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, with everything that we have. See, sometimes when we go out of our way, when we do things that God doesn't want us to do, God needs to bring us back by correcting us, by disciplining us. Second here says, don't forget to remember God's providence and God's blessing from verse 7 to verse 16. It says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, wines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land when bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end, it might go well with you. What a contrast, isn't it? The land of slavery, the waterless land. Here we see that in verse 7 to verse 9 is a small description of the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And this land flowing with milk and honey appears 20 times in the Bible, starting from Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, where the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And he says, I heard the cries of your people, and I'm going to bring them out of the hand of Pharaoh and bring you into the land flowing with milk and honey. What a contrast you see here. The desert. The Lord said, we are going to bring you into the land that God has given to you. This land, a land with streams and with pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and the hills, a land with milk, with wheat and barley, wines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land when bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hill. Wow. It must be really a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, Moses wasn't worried about the hardship that the Israelites were going through because they have endured 430 years of forced labor as slaves of Pharaoh, as slaves in Egypt, building the pyramids and the store of cities of Pharaoh, having to gather their own straws to make bricks and mortar in the hot, scorching sun. The whips of the slave drivers were on their backs whenever they slowed down a little bit. They were cruelly and ruthlessly, treated by the Egyptians. They cried to God, and God delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh. They were used to this hardship. Moses wasn't worried about that. What Moses was afraid was when the Lord has blessed them, when the Lord has provided them in the land of plenty, the land flowing with milk and honey, they will forget God. Verse 10, see, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You see, my friends, what Moses was concerned was when the Lord has blessed them, when the Lord has provided for them in the land of plenty, the land flowing with milk and honey, they will forget God. This was what Moses was worried about. You see, in your plenty, in God's providence and blessings, your heart will become proud and you will forget that it is God who has blessed you with all these things. I sometimes think, being God also is not easy, See, when you don't listen to the cries of your people, you're either a God who doesn't care or doesn't love them or not powerful enough to do anything. But once you bless them and provide for all their needs and their wants, They will forget that this is you who have blessed them. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, I think all of us have gone through that ourselves, isn't it? When we are poor and in need, when we have no one to turn to, when no one can help us or want to help us, we turn to God. The Israelites did that in Egypt, and they did that again here in the desert. They were compelled to turn to God, but they have forgotten it is the Lord who has blessed them. So Moses warned them, you know, when you come into the land of plenty, when you have lots of things, you know, a blessing, you know, all that you have multiplied, your heart will be proud, forgotten where the blessing came from. There's a Chinese proverb which says that, you know, when someone bless you, remember that for 1,000 years. Now, when someone bless you with some flowers, may the fragrance last 10,000 years. That's what the Chinese say. A few weeks ago, seminary MBTS in Penang received an email. The email goes something like this. It said, "Hello, back in the 1980s, while we were in the Navy, our ship stopped at Penang. And we came down, a friend of mine and I, while walking down the road, came across your seminary. Since we were both Christians, we decided to stop by and introduce ourselves. The staff and the students there were very friendly and made us feel welcome. We were invited to lunch with the students, and we quickly accepted. Later, we found out that two of the students gave up their lunches so that we could eat. I was very humbled by that sacrifice. I've never forgotten that visit or the impact it made on me. We have it so easy in the United States. The reason for this email is my wife and I are discussing where we should tithe. We are currently supporting a pastor and a missionary in Costa Rica and Indonesia, as well as the local ministry and our church. We would like to add you, we would like to add your seminary to our tithing list. May God bless you, your faculty and staff and the students." This brother, 40 years ago, was blessed by a simple meal, a simple lunch. And now, 40 years later, he remembers that. And he returns to repay that blessing. May God bless him and his family with long life and good health all the days of his life. My dear brothers, always remember what we have today. Everything that we have comes from God. God has blessed us. Don't ever forget the giver of the blessings that God has brought upon us. And the third point is, you know, don't forget God's command. Verse 17 to verse 20. He says, "You may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God." You see, these people not only have pride in their hearts to forget it is the Lord who has blessed them, they took credit for the prosperity. They took credit. You see? He says, you know, in verse 7, "You may say in your heart, my power and my strength of my hands has produced this wealth. Not you, God. I made it all on my own." No. You see here, they stole God's glory. They claim that it was, you know, what they have today is due entirely to their own effort. And the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. I remember when I was young, you know, I hear my grandfather telling the stories, and they always claim, you know, how they came from China, the hardship, you know, they went through, and they will always say every single cent has blood and sweat in them. True, they were hard, you know. In Chinese, they say, they were trying carelessly. True, they were hard for every single cent. But without God giving them the help, without God giving them the strength, without God giving them the opportunity, the business acumen, where will they be today? And not only the Israelites, you know, that they've forgotten God's blessing. They've forgotten. They went and worshiped other gods and bowed down to them. You see how ungrateful these people are. And this is a good thing for us to remind ourselves, my dear brothers and sisters, what we have today, it is entirely by God, given by God. Remember, Job says, naked, I came out from my mother's womb, and naked, I'll go back. None of us brought anything with us. When you came out from your mother's womb, did you bring gold, pearls, and anything? No, naked, nothing. And what we have today, every single cent we have today has been blessed by God. Let us always remember that, my dear brothers and sisters, all that we have today, you know, a roof over our head, the money in the bank, all has been given by God. And because the Israelites, you know, and you look at it, they worship other gods. You know, they attribute their success to God. And that's the reason, you know, 900 over years before Christ, they have a divided kingdom of Judah and Israel. And then 700 years before Christ, the Assyrians came to conquer the land. The Babylonians conquered them. The Romans conquered them. You see, because they have forgotten God, and God needs to teach them a lesson. As a father, you know, teaches son, he teaches them, and only until in 1948, almost 2,000 years, they lost their land because of their disobedience to God. My dear brothers and sisters, this morning, even as we look at this, do not forget the Lord. Help us to remember these three points. First, don't forget. You know, it is the Lord who has sometimes to discipline us, to bring us back to Him, to correct us. And it is always for our own good. As early fathers, you know, none of us like disciplining our children. But sometimes, you know, we discipline them for their own good, so that they will be good people, good citizens, good Christians. And the same thing God did with the Israelites. Secondly, you know, don't forget to remember God's provision and God's blessing. You know, in verse 17 verse 7 to 18, in our most difficult time, God has provided for all our needs and even some of our wants. He's like our Heavenly Father, always giving us His best. And finally, don't forget to remember God's command. You know, verse 17 to 20, what we have today is given to us by God. We praise the Lord that many of us, especially in Pantai Baptist Church, we are living in the promised land, the land of plenty, the land flowing with milk and honey. But remember, we must not be proud like the Israelites, not be proud and forget that it's just the Lord who has given us the ability and the strength to produce wealth. During these pandemic times, let us also remember that many are still in the desert of the pandemic. Many are still in the wilderness of the pandemic. Without food and drink, we need to reach out to them. And what is the command of our Lord? Here He says, no, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you this day. What is the command as Christians? You know, to look after the widows and the orphans, the poor and the hungry without food and the basic necessities of life, the destitute and the needy. There are many out there during these pandemic times. And we thank the Lord for putting into the hearts of our leaders of PPC to start this, you know, COVID relief fund. You know, as just now you have been introduced, yeah, you have been really told you that to reach out to the people as Christians. As God's people, we know, we have been taught from young, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And not just in our heads. Let us put it in words and in action and give as the Lord moves us. freely receive, freely give, and our Lord will bless and reward us for our love and generosity to these people in their times of need. Let us reach out to them. These people have lost their jobs. These people have no money, you know, to pay for the basic necessities of life. We have heard of children having to drink water, babies doesn't have milk for days. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has blessed us. Many of us are living in the land of plenty. Let us reach out to them. I've shared with you, you know, this some time ago, an email I've received, and I always kept this and I always remind my children. It says that if you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of this world. Many of us listening, including me, yeah, we are richer than 75% of the people in this world. We are in the top 25%. Not only that, he says, if you have money in your bank, in your wallet, or spare change in a dish somewhere, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Many of us this morning on the top 8%. Let us reach out to the 92% who are much poorer than us. And he continues to say, if you can read this message, you are more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world that cannot read anything. My dear brothers and sisters, how blessed we are in Malaysia. How blessed we are, even as we sit down this morning to listen in front of a TV, zooming online on YouTube. We are so blessed, but there's so many people out there. I think all of us can see them on WhatsApp, lining up the road to get a packet of rice. Some get a packet of meat with nothing in it. Line up for hours. Let us reach out to them. Let us give generously to this COVID relief fund that more people may be blessed. Let us reach out to them with the love of Christ, with the blessing that God has blessed us. Let's pray. Father, indeed, we want to thank you for putting in the hearts of our leaders to reach out to so many people who are in need. The white flags that we see, the people lining up for food. Father, help us to give so that they will know they will not go hungry anymore, that they will have food for their children, food for their babies. We know this is what you want us to do, Lord, as your children. Continue to bless Pantai Baptist Church, that in turn, we will bless many people. In Jesus' name, we pray all this. Amen. Amen.